The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 473. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. I know you've read the title of the episode, and you're probably thinking to yourself, John, it's still way early to be talking about WrestleMania. We still have about 8 or 9 days until we get to the showcase of the Immortals. What the heck are you doing? Well, you're right to think that, because I had to be creative with scheduling this episode, because Easter is so late this year that it kind of threw a wrench into some of the plans that I had mapped out. I also, of course, you know, not only is Easter late and Mania is that weekend, the NHL playoffs start on the 20th of April, so I have that episode to do with my man Luke Landry. So the best that I could do was kind of contact the pro wrestling pundits and ask them, hey, would you mind coming on a little bit earlier than we normally do and help me with this preview episode? And both Joey and Rand said absolutely, so they're going to be my guests on this episode, running down what we know so far is happening with WrestleMania. No doubt there's going to be some things that is going to be announced over these next 9 days or so. And when that happens, we will definitely cover it in the wrap-up or the review show that we are doing in a couple of weeks. So with that, I don't want to waste much more time, because it's going to be quite an episode, as it always is when the pro wrestling pundits stop by. So I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear me with the pro wrestling pundits talk about WrestleMania. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to talk about what might be happening in a couple of weeks from now. Of course, I'm referring to WrestleMania 41. Joining me to talk all about the showcase of the Immortals, DJ Joey Blaze.
Immortals. Immortals. Speaking of Immortals, I would love to talk a little bit about Invincible too at some point.
Okay.
Are you caught up?
No, I'm not caught up.
Oh my goodness.
I know.
Guys, we need to figure out a way to get John Orlando some extra time so he can catch up on some stuff. That's going to be our goal here coming up shortly. But what's up? How we doing? How we feeling?
The birthday boy.
The birthday boy, the big 5-0.
Yes, thank you, gentlemen. It is, we are recording this on my birthday. And as you said in the group text, we're doing this on your birthday. And man, you got to make some sacrifices for the podcast, you know, and this happened to be one of them.
But on his 50th, nonetheless.
Yeah, 50 years. 50 years young.
50 years ago, what was happening on that day? What do you think?
I wasn't driving yet.
You weren't driving yet?
No.
Okay.
Back when you were banging?
No.
There was none of that either.
No, the car was in the garage.
I bet for Rand, he was getting ready for baseball season.
That's it.
It would have been my mom's.
Okay, 45th
birthday yesterday.
It would have been your mom's 45th.
She's 95 yesterday.
Okay. Oh my goodness. Well, happy birthday to her. I was waiting. I set him up for a joke where we say getting ready for baseball season. He was like, yeah, I was smashing the catcher's mitt. But
yeah, well, you know. Anyways, Ringside Rand, how you doing?
I'm either unemployed or retired. Either take your pick.
Yeah, well, there you go. And it's treating you well?
I'm off to a good start.
Okay.
I'm not allowed to make noise in my house until 9 o'clock in the morning.
That's an edict from the wife?
Oh, that's an edict from the wife. I've been retired for a year and a half, and I'm not going to hear anything before 9.
I just noticed something before we get into this podcast.
Yes.
As soon as somebody in this room goes and gets retired, mm-hmm. we see a new wrestler in a mask pop up in the WWE.
Mm.
El Grande Americano.
Mm-hmm.
So before we even start this, Rand, we got to ask, are you El Grande Americano?
No.
Okay.
All right. We just want to make sure. We need to figure it out. I have money. I went to Vegas. When I go to Vegas, I'm going to put it all on. It's Omos. I think it's Omos. But I will find out.
It could be. You don't know who it could be. I mean, it could very well be Omos. It could be Rand. Again, we don't know. We just have to take their word for it.
It could be the former Captain America.
It could have been the former Captain America. Chris Evans.
Captain America in wrestling.
Mr. America. Yeah, I don't think it's Mr. America.
No. See, I think what would be better would be called, like, if it's Omos, to call him BBC. So it'd be Big Black Character.
Anyways.
Can we, no? Yeah, I think people would be chanting BBC, BBC.
I'm not sure how that would go over.
Oh, okay.
I mean, hey, on Netflix, it might be no problem. It might get big time ratings, you know, on Netflix. But SmackDown, I'm going to say, no, that's not going to happen. So, all right, well, let's first off kick off this discussion with the question that we all need to answer. How excited are you for WrestleMania?
Nothing special.
Really?
Not the biggest WrestleMania is what I mean.
Okay.
There's nothing I'm dying to see, but I'm regular interest.
Okay, regular interest. Okay.
Well, that's actually the second most important question. The first one is the kid mine, so we'll find that out this week.
You are not the father.
I'm going on Maury. It's going to be a good time. I'm super excited, and the main reason why is myself and Miss Widget are making the trip out to Las Vegas on the 15th, and we'll be out there for the week. We're going to try and get some cheap tickets. I'm not paying that face value bullshit.
Mm.
But we're going to enjoy it, have a good time, go to WWE World, go to WrestleCon. We're going to hang out with the Honky Tonk Man.
Honky Tonk Man.
On Friday night.
Okay. So, he's going to be out there?
He'll be out there at WrestleCon signing. They'll be shake, rattle, and rolling with us on Whatnot next Friday.
Nice. So. Okay. There you go. Solid.
But I'm looking forward to it because I'm actually going to drop myself into an immersive experience of WrestleMania in Las Vegas.
Okay. All right.
I went to WrestleMania 8 in Indianapolis.
I went to 22 and 23, Chicago and Detroit, respectively.
What was the one before? What was it, Stone Cold and Brett? 15?
15.
I was there.
Okay.
That's the one I went to.
Which city?
Chicago.
All right, well, let's start off talking about the matches and giving our thoughts about the builds to the matches and making predictions as to who is going to go over. Right now, we have quite a few matches set in stone. We do have a few, quote, maybes, end quote, but we'll talk about them as well because I think the maybes are kind of a week away or a few days away from being, you know, cemented in stone. All right, let's talk about night one, the main event, Roman Reigns versus CM Punk versus Seth Rollins. I have to say that I understand the favor. It's a great idea.
Dude, he hasn't revealed the favor.
Right, but they keep jerking us around.
Paul Heyman's gonna be in
Punk's corner.
I don't think that's the favor.
I wrote down, does he have another favor? Yeah, he's going to be in Punk's corner. Whoop-de-doo.
Is it going to be sexual favors?
At one time, it looked like the favor was the match being the main event of that night.
Yeah. So they've done a little bit to make it a little bit confusing. I did really enjoy the interaction, though, this week on Raw, you know, where Seth tried to give the stomp to Paul and then said, you owe me a favor. I thought that was really clever. I liked what they were doing with it, but I don't know. I'm hoping that it doesn't fizzle out.
This is the first ever Paul Heyman on a pole match.
That'd be a strongly reinforced
pole. That's a big pole.
That would be.
But the buildup has been great because you have no idea. Something's been building for weeks and months.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still a week and a half away. We got no ideas.
There's a reason why this is the main event, right? Don't they usually close out a main event with a title?
They do, usually.
So I still think something here with this match, and we'll talk about it. I had a prediction a long time ago that Gunther was going to injure Jimmy and it was going to infuriate Jay. And Jay was going to get injured as well leading up to Mania. And somebody else takes on Gunther. And it could go a couple different ways with this match. Either Gunther, if my scenario plays out in my head, that I think, because I don't think Jay's ready, Jay's better at chasing, I think Jay's better at winning a title at SummerSlam than Mania. That's a whole other story. We'll talk about that during that. So in one of those scenarios, it could be if they place Randy in that because of the whole Kevin Owens thing, which we'll talk about that. But maybe the favor is making this a title match. And it's a four corners match for the title. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but WWE has a way lately of stuff that doesn't make sense in the moment to making sense as it builds, as it goes along, in the results. Right. And I just think it's so weird to me that you're having a main event of one of the nights and it's not a title match.
Well, you know what? I think maybe a different way might be that, okay, they maybe they don't do Gunther and Jay, because we don't know. That's going to be on probably on night one. I don't know if
I would assume
that.
It would be.
But maybe they don't do that match because, as you said, there's an injury, and then they drop one of those out of the main event. Like, oh, CM Punk will take on Gunther instead of...
Which you could do, and the reason I'm thinking that, too, is because if you're going to have your most... And I'm not really a fan, but he is... I give him credit, he's the most over guy right now is Jey Uso with the whole Yeet
mm-hmm,
thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to have him win it, why is he not a main event?
Mm-hmm.
His name's main event, Jey Uso. Why isn't he the last match of the night? You want to send everybody home happy.
Mm-hmm.
So I still think we still have time for a schmoz at some point. And but back to what we're looking at right now, we have the three in the ring. There's no other way with... You could... It makes sense to put Punk over because of the whole storyline. But I would right now, what I would do, because it wouldn't hurt the other two, is I would put Seth Rollins over. I would have Seth win that match. So I'm taking Seth in that match. Just for the simple fact is if you weigh the three factors together, Roman could take the L. Punk's kind of taken L's on pay-per-views lately, and he's older. And I'm going to take Rollins.
I'm going CM Punk because I know we've talked about this before. I think the window is closing on Punk here soon. I mean, he's getting up there. Not
100%.
Not that age means anything, but I mean, you know, he's had some injuries.
But I think Rollins is going to somehow... I think Punk hits the go to sleep on Roman. Something happens to Punk. He's out of the ring. Then Rollins does the stomp when he's trying to get shake. Then he steals the pin.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my two cents on that. Further moving that storyline for Punk, if this match still takes place as it is on today's date.
Okay.
There's a lot to think about here, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
I mean, they've done a great job. Hey, AEW, listen up. Just because you add more people to the match doesn't mean it makes it better. There are four people involved here, and this is great. And I think a lot of the credit goes to the writing of Paul Heyman. He's got connections to each of these three. We got no idea. I think it's going to be CM Punk. That somehow he's going to have a favor. And that favor might be the name of Brock Lesnar.
I don't know. There's rumors that he has stated, and this could go either way, because it could be a total work, but it could be the truth. I read where he has come out and said he's done with wrestling. But are you? Or is this a swerve?
Has anybody ever done?
That's true. Very true on that one. So
I went to three of Terry Funk's retirement matches.
He's an anomaly, too. He retired several times.
Yeah.
Yes.
If he didn't pass away, I'm sure he'd be having another. He probably would have been in that match with his brother.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course. What, by the way, was one of those retirements where Dennis Stamp was getting prepared to be booked?
I think so.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, let's talk about night two's main event, which is going to be, of course, Cody Rhodes taking on John Cena. Man, I don't know what to say that I haven't said already about this storyline. This is amazing. John Cena as the heel, fantastic. The promos are great. The face-offs between him and Cody are great. They're booking it super smart. Overall, it's been fantastic. However, I think that Cody goes over because I think Cena is going to be comfortable in this role of putting young talent over before he calls it quits in January.
I think they've invested too much in Cena and the heel turn to not follow through with it.
I agree with you on that 100%. I think, so Cody's had it a year. He's already fulfilled his story. I think a nice little heel Cena run as a champion during this window of his retirement, quote unquote, I'm using air quotes on an audio podcast, but during this time of, you know, of his retirement, to where both of them, it makes the most sense. Once again, it's one of those things where Cody can lose, but not lose with this. He can lose the title, then I think Cody could chase it and maybe win it back Survivor Series, because that's the last big paper, big one. Yeah. The big right. Four or whatever.
That's Cena is within Cena's schedule.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think he kind of opened a schedule for this too. So I feel the same way. I'm taking Cena just because it's going to look better for Cody to chase. Cody can actually take some time off if he needs to at this point now, because Cody's been on the road for a year straight. He's been on there solid for a year. He's been on both shows. He's got that little baby. Let me take some time off and spend. This is a perfect way to do it. And I mean, Cena to go full heel, which he's been great on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
With everybody. But Cena's ruthless aggression. We went through that. We went through the Cena's Thuganomics. Cena's always been a good mic, good, great on the mic. He's always been, he's so great promo. But he's been moving that. And I think, he can keep doing this. It's going to just keep pissing people off more and more and more. And that's what you want. Some people say Cody's stale. Cody's not stale. He still gets massive pops. But I think some of the smart marks are a little tired of it. But and I think this is great. This is a great way to lead down the road and lead through his retirement as a champion and beating Flair's record. Here's the other thing too. To me, the whole. And I'm sorry if I'm taking up too much time by talking about this, but the whole wild card in all this, once again, is Randy Orton. Isn't Randy tied with the same amount of titles? Am I not mistaken, or is he one behind?
I think he's one behind.
What if he became a part of this, since we're seeing triple threats in four corners?
Well, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
So there's another thing you can add to that, and then throw the swerve and put the title on him. Then if he's one behind Cena, then him and Cena have a feud throughout the summer.
Well,
I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there too. But either way, or with what we have on paper, I'm saying Cena over Cody.
Well, and you know what? I've been reading a little bit about what they're going to do with the situation with Randy Orton and KO. There's been a lot of things thrown out there, like Nick Aldis as a possible fill-in, which I think is not a good idea. I mean, I know Nick Aldis has one more good one in him, but I think it would be a waste to use it with Randy Orton. I'm sorry. Aleister Black, Rey Fénix. I mean, all of these names just to me doesn't really fit. So what you pitched right there, Joey, I think makes really good sense to put him somehow, by whatever means necessary, get Randy Orton into that match.
Well, maybe. He already has a story with these guys.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I like it.
And especially when you're looking at breaking Flair's record. So another thing I want to throw out, too, about Randy – first of all, who knows if is this KO thing? I know we
no
always question.
Question,
but it's KO. That's very Mark Henry-esque what went down when he talked about his retirement.
Okay.
And he was very feisty with that fan as he was walking back. That's what kind of the video went viral.
Mm-hmm.
So, is it real? I hope he's not too badly injured and whatever. I'm not going to talk smack on that. But, so there's a guy that just resigned. And he's hanging out a lot in the back, and he's moving a bunch of storylines, and he's really good on the mic, and he's a great hand. And I think a great match at a Mania would be Karrion Kross versus Randy Orton. And the reason I put that out there is you can put him in the ring and make an impromptu match, and he can talk his evil stuff and this, that, and the other, and then all of a sudden it's an impromptu match. And I think that match would work. They both look good. I think they could put on a good one together. And I think you could make something like that make sense. Over all the Nick Aldis's and over all the Rey Fénix, that doesn't make sense. Aleister Black, he's going to debut after Mania. He's going to come back. I think you're going to see somebody like him after Mania. But so that's my two scenarios with Randy. I would throw Karrion Kross in.
He's actually another name that's been tossed around quite a bit that I
really
read. Yeah.
Okay.
So I just didn't mention him. Rand, so are you going with Cena as your pick, by the way, real quick,
yeah,
before you give your comments?
Yeah,
okay.
I think they put too much into it not to pay off.
I totally agree. And I think
it's just asking for interference so that Cody has a reasonable loss.
I think it's going to be I don't think we're going to see as many people like interfered in the match last year. We're not going to see something like that.
No.
But they were they've been very methodical with the storytelling, so. Because it would make no sense for Cena. Okay, then he loses. What's next for Cena?
Well, again, that's why I think he could really work that the next night on Raw, he's talking about he's going to show this next generation who's boss, and you could have.
But he's already done that. He's lost to Austin Theory, dude. Like, he's already put over the younger talent. I think, in my opinion, the younger talent wants to put him over on his way out because they have that much respect for John Cena.
Okay.
Cena's been so big so long and so successful, he's almost the Coldplay of the WWE. People dislike him because he's been on top so long.
Rand, you dislike Coldplay, let's be honest.
Yeah.
but it's undeniable, though, when you say that. We've talked several times about Mount Rushmore's.
Yes.
John Cena's on there.
Yes.
There's no debating that one.
How many years?
He's been on top for how many years? He's done, charitable work, championships, what he's done.
Make a wish.
I think he deserves to break the title, the reign of the Flair's record or whatever. Especially because we've seen the type of character that Ric Flair has turned into in life. So, anyway.
Well, speaking of that, let's talk about Charlotte Flair versus Tiffany Stratton.
You mean Charlotte Flair?
Charlotte.
She looks like blonde Cher. She looks like Cher with blonde, like current Cher,
yeah,
but with blonde hair.
Okay, all right.
70-year-old Cher.
Yes.
Did you not watch that promo the other night on SmackDown?
I did, and
it. She looked so nervous. You never see Charlotte like that. Charlotte was phased. She was questioning a lot of her life decisions in that ring during that promo.
Well. Anyways, I don't know what to say about this match. I can see it going both ways, because I think that there's obviously if you put the title on Charlotte, then you're seeing can she chase, and is the fans going to be behind that chase? But on the other hand, I don't want to see Charlotte get another title win. I mean, because speaking of dad, I mean, how many times has she held the title?
She's going to ultimately be the top. Like, she's going to go above Cena.
Okay.
My opinion.
I said that on record on podcast.
Okay.
And she's going to be the one
that breaks it.
Yeah. Or holds it.
Maybe this is just me wanting to see this is how I'm voting, but I want to see Tiff Stratton win. I think she goes over.
So, it makes the most sense.
It does, too.
It makes the most sense. Charlotte can take this L and move on. Mm-hmm. I think if Tiffany takes this L in this point of her championship reign, it's going to be hard to rebound from.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Just because of where they're going with her character. And she really, I'm talking about Jey Uso and the Yeet movement. And people are really getting behind her as a fan favorite. That when you hear, if you sit there and as soon as it's Tiffy time. Boom, the crowd goes crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm personally not a fan of her. I don't like her. I'm not a fan of Tiffany Stratton. I have never been a fan, but you can't deny what's going on with her character development, what's going on. So I'm in agreement with you, and it makes sense. I see her going over clean, too.
Tiffany the cute young girl that Bailey was 5 to 10 years ago?
Not at all.
No.
Not at all.
No, she's way too glamorous for what Bailey, comparing her to Bailey. I think I must confess, I think she has a little bit of like this Charlotte Flair kind of character. I think she originally started off ripping that off, but has kind of morphed it into like, oh, I'm the cool chick you would hang out with in high school kind of character, if you will.
If Tiffany wins by doing whatever it takes, does she become a heel?
I don't know. That's a great question.
I don't think they'll flip her.
You think she's staying?
But also, the only thing that makes me nervous about picking that is when I sit and I look and I watch NXT last night, and I've watched NXT for the last 6 months. WWE's women's division is an embarrassment of riches. There is so many good wrestlers that are going to be something within the next year or two that I feel like Charlotte's clock is ticking too, because you're going to have to move to the side, old hag, and let the new people come in. And I think that's going to happen too. So that's the only thing that has me questioning any of this is, do you do that now so she has her title and she's going to fade off into the sunset at some point? Because you look down, well, you have Tiffy as your champion. You have all those wonderful women down in NXT. Plus, you have Chelsea Green. I know Lyra's great. She's good, but she needs some adjustments with her character. But she's a hell of a wrestler.
Lyra Valkyria?
Yeah.
Valkyria.
Or, okay. Yeah. Right. Like, there's certain, you know, this next generation of women's wrestling is amazing. So, I mean, Sol Ruka. Have you watched Sol Ruka, like, develop?
I have not. I've watched some of her earlier stuff. I haven't watched.
Dude, I'm 5 years from now, she's headlining Mania on the females division. Yeah, Jada Parker's awesome. And of course, you got Julia. You got Stephanie Vaquer. You got Jordan Grace in the mix. You got what's that other big buff chick that they got? I always forget her name down there with the pink hair. She's teaming with Sol Ruka. I always forget her name.
Yeah, I can't.
She's got a cool gimmick. She's got like a badass gimmick. So you got all these women that are getting ready to be elevated. So like I said. Sorry, I literally just took the scenic route to get where I was wanting to get, but I just wanted to prove that point that maybe Charlotte's clock is ticking too, so that's the other side of it.
She's 39, so.
To beat the queen, you got to be the queen, and I still think it's Charlotte. I understand a lot of your good points, though.
All right, I know we've talked a little bit about this, so I don't know if we'll go super long, but we have Gunther taking on Jey Uso. Joey, I think you stole my description of Jay. He's not ready yet. He's still much better chasing. Yes, he's gotten over with the yeet. Yes, he's gotten over with, especially the promo on Monday where he talked about being, you know, praying to be the man that he has to become and et cetera, et cetera. But I just don't see him as a champion. I just don't. I have to go with Gunther.
Does this match move the meter?
I don't think it does. It's a raw match.
If it happens, it's 200 chops versus 200 super kicks. Let's be honest, yeah. Right? You know, so if this match happens as it's said, and it's going to piss a lot of people off, but the WWE is comfortable in their own skin now about doing it. This isn't years ago when it's Daniel Bryan or Kofi when you had to make it happen. You don't have to make this happen. No. I rip a lot of wrestling cards. I'm in a lot of wrestling card streams. People, all they got to do with Jay. Why? Why do you have to give Jay? Jay can be good. Jay is an amazing wrestler, and he can be a good tag team guy. There is nothing wrong with that.
No.
And a lot of these, you know, a lot of these fans are like, no, guys, it's a work. It's all a work. And people don't get that. And that's the thing. Like, and it's going to mess with us, and it's there to mess with our emotions and get us involved. Gunther is the real deal.
Yeah,
like Gunther. Could you drop him in any decade of wrestling, and he's awesome.
He's a main eventer.
Maybe he lacks a little bit of this, lacks a little bit of that. But if you're going to keep making him the dominant guy, you keep it up the belt on Gunther. And I think the guy you end up seeing taking the belt off Gunther, maybe if they don't do any craziness during Mania, would be Bron Breakker. But which makes the most sense out of anybody. So that's my two cents on it. I say Gunther keeps the belt as well.
I say Gunther keeps the belt, and we finally get tension between Jimmy and Jay to the point where they have a match.
Oh, no, yeah. Not another match. Jesus Christ,
that
no.
That was so bad.
That one that they had a couple years ago, Rand, was abysmal. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. And it shouldn't have been. You know what? I'm just not going to go down that road and waste time on that match. It was universally, I think most people say, it was not very good.
I honestly would love to see this as a squash match. It would piss so many people off. Controversy creates ratings and creates money.
Yeah, that's true.
And Jay's better chasing.
I agree. All right, we go to the women's title match, which is a three-way dance between Io Sky, Rhea Ripley, and Bianca Belair.
I saw this coming as a three-way before it was close to being announced. Like 4 or 5 weeks ago, I thought this was going to happen. I think Rhea stealing the contract and signing it was brilliant. Of all the contract signings we've ever seen, has anybody ever done that?
That happened. Was it Shawn? Was it Shawn Michaels do that? Or Triple H? I think one of the, they did, because I saw the, they talk about the regurgitation of that, and the guys behind a lot of the creative right now is Michaels and Triple H.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was. I know they pointed it out, but I think there was something along those lines where something similar is done, but not like that, not like putting mommy over as big.
I just thought maybe I'd forgotten that other one. I see Rhea getting the back though.
I agree with you. I think Io's had a decent run, but I see Rhea getting the victory. And probably get a victory because of some mistake between Bianca and Io, which then leads to, you know, there's a mistake somehow, or they both KO each other, and then Rhea hits the Riptide, and that's 1, 2, 3, and that's all she wrote. So again, kind of stealing the pin, but not really.
So guys, let me know if you've heard this joke before. An Asian, an Australian, and a black girl walk into a bar.
Oh, now.
I'm sorry. As you sit there, you look at the match. It's just one of the things jokingly I thought of. But here, so why are we getting Bianca in this match? I still don't understand that. I still know why she would. Why is this not Bianca versus Jade Cargill at WrestleMania? That's the match we wanted. Instead, we're getting versus Naomi with them two fighting. So I just don't understand Bianca being in this position, even though her winning Royal Rumble didn't make sense. And her being in this position doesn't make much sense. Rhea takes the title back. I don't know which way it's going to happen. Mommy's going to be back on top, and I think she's going to have a nice little reign again after this.
Do you think that maybe they don't think Jade Cargill's ready?
Well, they keep saying that, but that she wouldn't be in this match. It would have been Jade versus Bianca, so that wouldn't have anything really to do with this match. That's one of the matches I really looked forward to for Mania. I thought with her with this whole injury angle and coming back. So maybe it's a little self-disappointment. I think Rhea takes it. I think Bianca's just kind of a throw-in with this, even though she won the Rumble. And Io's amazing.
Like, yeah.
I don't think...
She's really good, and she's underrated.
There's just a whole group of women wrestlers right now that are super underrated, and Io's one of them, even with the title.
Mm-hmm. So. I thoroughly love her theme music and have ever since. Like, I don't know why. That's killer music. And it matches her.
Can you imagine what that's going to, like, this Mania, how they're going to present that song for the entrance? It's going to be sick.
It is. Look, let's talk about Jade Cargill versus Naomi. This is probably, if I'm going back and say, let's go to the beginning of the year, January, this is the worst storyline that they've put out. It's confusing. It doesn't make sense. The right people are the wrong people in the storyline, etc., etc. I don't care about this match at all. Of course, it's going to be Cargill versus Naomi. I think, just personally for me, I think you put Cargill over so we can put this whole storyline to bed.
She needs to squash Naomi.
Yeah, she does. She does. Because this, if I was to say that the worst storyline that WWE's put out recently, I'd say this is it. It's just, it's bad.
Well, the build-up and then the payoff.
Yeah.
Like, the beatdown at Elimination Chamber was sweet. I thought that was cool. But, like I said, it should have been both of them, or it should have just been Bianca. It would have made way more sense. I think it would have made more of an interesting storyline.
Agreed. So
they just need to do something with Naomi? They just need to try to make her interesting?
Well... Like, and yet she's not pulling it off either, that she's this evil woman. Like, I look at her and I go, you just don't have it.
She's not a good heel.
She's a terrible heel. Yeah, I don't know if they had, but look, I don't want to be a dick, but does Naomi really need to be on WrestleMania? I'm just saying. I'm sorry. Like, she hasn't had a great storyline.
Well, again, we goes back to us saying there's an embarrassment of riches, and no offense to Naomi, you've had your time, girl.
Yeah.
It's time to hop in that back seat, baby.
I agree. Send her to NXT. Let her work with the other the Vakors and the Julias and the Lash Legends and all those other folks.
I mean, Natty's been around for how long? And she can still take that back seat and know when she needs to do stuff. And I'm actually looking forward to a possible tag team with Natty, which I've seen that tease lately.
So Joey and Rand, who are you picking between this match? Cargill
all the way. Okay. And she's going to have some insane ring gear too. She's gonna look badass. You can take that to the bank as well. You go Card Girl too, Rand?
Yes, indeed.
All right.
Yes, indeed, Shannon Tweed.
Up next, a match that I think could steal the show. Logan Paul versus AJ Styles.
So you mean another year, another match where another 15-year veteran has to carry Logan Paul? I'm just joking. I think I'm joking. I'm playing off of that because Logan Paul gets a lot of hate. And a lot of it he deserves. He's a pompous asshole. But he is very talented. And like Kid Rock said, it's not cocky when you can back it up. And he can back it up. And steal the show, I'm 100% behind you. Because you look at this. Where everybody's worried about John Cena's retirement. How much longer does AJ have? Theoretically, he wants to be done. He wants to be able to walk around without hurting. But he's probably got another year left himself.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to go all out. You're going to see some wild stuff. Logan Paul's new finisher, the pulverizer, is amazing. Have you watched him do it?
I have not watched him do it. What is the pulverizer?
Just trust me. After we're done, just go watch. It's a great finisher. But it's something that I feel like AJ can do a little something to work into something AJ Styles out of it, too. I think we're going to see some cool counter moves. I think it's something that we all thought, you know, Logan versus Ricochet was going to be amazing. It was good. But I think this is going to be better because it's AJ freaking Styles.
Mm-hmm.
But Logan Paul wins.
Did you know AJ Styles had Macho Man Savage's last match? And he also had The Undertaker's last match.
Wait, the one with Savage, was that in WCW?
TNA.
Was it in TNA? Well, that's right. Savage was there for like a cup of coffee, wasn't he?
The big time, yeah.
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 Coffee in the big time, yeah.
I think Logan Paul wins, but yeah, with as little storyline as this needs or gets, this could be probably the most fun match to watch.
And they make it interesting.
Yeah.
I would probably, if we said, and I know we like making all these lists, you just made the list. We make all these lists. I think AJ Styles is probably one of the top 5 or top 10 most underrated promos in professional wrestling.
Ooh, wow. That's saying something.
And
because some of his promos have not been good.
They haven't. But when he needs to go, just like in the ring, so I was watching a reel from a podcast. Chris Van Fleet had him on there. And so there was animosity between AJ Styles and Billy Kidman because AJ Styles did want to do the shooting star press. Mm. He was doing it outside the ring. So that's where he came up with the one where he does the twist outside the ring. So to get around that. So you talk about the history, you know, he's wrestled Savage. He's wrestled Taker's last match. You think about all these people he's wrestled along the lines. And I think Logan Paul, even though he's a dick about the past, I think Logan Paul respects that. And
but you care about Logan Paul to the point where you bother to hate him.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Here's my prediction. I'm going the opposite way of you two. Because of simply this reason, I'm going to AJ Styles. I still think it's match of the night. What's Logan Paul's status, though? That's the question that always makes
me... He said he's full-time on Raw.
But he's got that new show now. Him and his brother have that new show, Paul Americans or whatever, Paul American. It's like it's a reality show about them living with...
You can record a reality show.
Well, I know that, but I'm just... Again, you got to do press. You got to do junkets. I'm just wondering, again, without a shadow of a doubt, match of the night. It's going to be... Balls to the wall, crazy. It's AJ Styles who's going to pull out all the stops, like you said, Joey. But I just don't see Logan Paul going over just yet. I say AJ Styles. And they could do it in a way where Logan Paul has a legitimate gripe. Like the old foot on the rope at the last minute. Like you could do that and then he could come out on Raw and be like, hey, listen, you know, they love to do rematches on Raw. There's one for you right there. That would be bonkers.
Since we have Rand in the room, what if we have in Logan Paul's corner Rand Paul?
He could stand behind the podium that the anonymous general manager used to use.
So you heard a Shannon Tweed mention and a Rand Paul mentioned in this podcast. None of those were on anybody's bingo card, I bet.
No, none. Let's talk about a match that I'm highly interested into. If for no other reason than I think it's going to be kind of wild as well. For the U.S. title, LA Knight defends against Jacob Fatu.
Yeah.
All pass, no breaks, huh? Dude, Jacob Fatu, he's created the gimmick of the promo on the way to the ring.
Yes, he has.
It's so sick. It's so awesome. Too bad he's going to lose to LA Knight because Solo's going to interfere and it's going to cause him to have a feud with Solo.
Intentionally interfere or backfire?
Backfire interference.
See, I'm going, I think Fatu goes over. I think they're
LA Knight is not a transitional champion. LA Knight is great at chasing and he's a solid champion, but he is not the Iron Sheik. He is not a transitional champion. He's going to lose it. He's going to keep it, but this thing happened so quick. This match is literally to put Solo into a program with Jacob Fatu. In my honest opinion, but go on.
I think that they want to see if Fatu's got legs, which we all know he does. But put a belt on him. See how he
doesn't need a belt to get over. He doesn't need that belt. And he just like his relative Umaga didn't need the IC title. I never understood that reign. He doesn't need a belt. He'll get one. He's the future.
Oh, yeah.
Even at his older age. Not older. I mean, he's in his late 20s.
Yeah.
He looks very, very seasoned, though.
He does.
But I don't. It's not clean. It's not. Because it just, to me, once again, I'm going to argue this, it just doesn't make sense for LA Knight to be a transitional champion because that's not what he is. That's not who he is. He's not there to keep a seat warm for somebody.
I think LA Knight needs a big win as a champ.
Exactly, too.
So you're going with LA?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah! Yeah!
So we only have a couple more matches that are already booked here, so we'll go with those, obviously. We got Bron Breakker versus Penta versus Dominic Mysterio versus Finn Balor. It's for the IC title. Ran, what do you think about this this matchup?
I think there's going to be problems between Finn and Dominic. I think the Judgment Day's pretty much run its course. And I think Bron keeps the title.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. If he hits one of those spears like he hit on Monday night, Jesus.
Where he came down the aisle?
Yeah. How did he not fuck Carlito up?
Carlito posted his funeral arrangements on Twitter.
Did
really amusing. Really amusing.
Is he buried in San Juan, Puerto Rico?
He said, please keep his family in his thoughts. It's the whole night. It was funny. I'm with Rand. Ron wins. We're going to see the breakup of the Judgment Day. Obviously, with that conniving little bitch, Liv, and Raquel doing their little stuff behind the scenes. But it needs to happen because we need to get Finn Balor away from this and get back to original Finn Balor, right? We need to see the demon. We need to see it somewhere, somehow, some way. And this could lead to a match with the demon versus Dirty Dom down the road. And you can do this in a way to keep Penta looking strong. You don't have to have him eat the pin or anything. So I think Finn actually eats the pin and Bron Breakker wins the match due to backfired interference or something backfires with Dirty Dom.
It amazes me how over and strong Finn Balor was when he became champ.
Mm-hmm.
Got injured and never regained any of that momentum.
Well, they booked him horribly.
Yeah, they didn't help him.
I think he's a rocket ship ready to go.
And, you know, during this timeline you look at, talk about putting a rocket ship on the back, Bray Wyatt being sick hurt his career. And it sounds horrible to say because they put AJ in that match. The Demon versus Bray, or the Fiend, there's little things that have happened for Finn along the way that if it went a different way, would be in a different situation. I don't think Finn has much gas in his tank either. As we're talking about AJ, Finn's been around a while. We just don't think about it.
Because of Japan. Yeah,
we Japan don't think about and a lot because of, you know, time flies, man. Time goes by. But I think he has something down the road and a run with something. And we're going to have to see the demon back. The fans are demanding it. I go back to the wrestling cards and doing that. The only Finn Balor cards that sell well are him dressed up as the demon in the picture. Nothing regular Finn Balor sells. I'm sitting on an out of five autograph I can't sell for $110, which, comparably speaking, other wrestlers on that particular card, it sells like $225. Just kind of tying put a bow on it. I think we need to see one more Balor run, a face run, and I think I agree with Rand. Judgment Day breaks up. Bron Breakker wins. He retains.
Okay, so Rand, let me just repeat so I make sure that I'm copying down our predictions correctly. You did say Bron Breakker goes.
Yes, right. Indeed.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, for me, I'm going to go I'm going to throw this out there. It's a four-way dance. I think that that does not help Bron Breakker. I feel that Penta comes out with the Intercontinental Championship. I think they're pushing him really, really strongly. I think it would be something a little bit different. Obviously, again, you could book it some way where Bron feels that he got screwed somehow, maybe because of the Judgment Day. We do the Penta Bron versus the two Judgment Day individuals, and then we can have some type of tension built there for a rematch between Penta and Bron. Yeah, I'm going that way with my prediction.
I think Penta eventually gets it at a pay-per-view down the road. On a one-on-one pay-per-view, mm-hmm. but I don't think he gets it at Mania.
Okay. All right, then that leads us to, well, Liv and Raquel have a match. They'll take on the winners of the Gauntlet that will be held on the April 11th SmackDown, which is a couple days away from now as we're recording. I don't really know what to say. I'm going to hold off on making any prediction there because I don't know what women's teams are going to be in there. So is it going to be Katana Chance and what's the other one's name? Gabby Carter or Caden Carter or Caden whatever. Carter. Yeah. I mean, there's that team. You could have Alba Fyre and Piper Niven in that match. You could have
Chelsea Green.
Well, she's already got a title. I think that, you know, but hey, it would be sweet.
Hey, she deserves.
She's your United States champion. She's the longest running women's United States champion. Okay.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, I think that's why if her two goons would win the belts, then they'd have the tag belts. Ooh. And the U.S. belts all right there, and they could be even more
like the JBL powerful. Cabinet.
Yes, exactly. So all right, well, let's get to the match that we know is booked, and it is El Grande Americano versus Rey Mysterio. I have to say this real quick. I love the fact that we're doing what I have begged for many, many years to happen, the gimmick mask. They put the piece of steel in the mask. That is awesome. I pop for that.
Yeah, we haven't seen that forever. Really enjoyed that myself.
With that, Joey, who do you think is going to go over in this match between El Grande Americano and Rey Mysterio?
I think El Grande Americano clearly wins. I think he wins, but I think it's Chad Gable, obviously. But what? I think when it gets to be unmasked, it's not going to be Chad Gable.
Oh, they're going to do the whole Midnight Rider thing, of course. Absolutely.
He's going to get knocked down, go under the ring, and somebody else is going to come out and have the mask taken off.
Yeah. I mean, and again, it would be hilarious if it's clearly obvious and not somebody that it was.
Somebody with tattoos or...
Yeah, right. Like if it's Aleister Black, like that would be hilarious because you're like, wait, time out. He's got these giant murals all over his arms and chest and whatnot. That would be killer. That would be great. So I agree. El Grande Americano is going over. So, Rand,
I took Rey Mysterio.
Okay.
I was just thinking, overall, in these 2 days, who's the surprise return that we're not thinking about?
Ooh. I'll go with...
I don't have anybody in mind.
I do. Rusev! I could see him coming back.
I think that would be hilarious. I think Rusev would be a great name to fight Orton. But I think,
yeah,
I think that would be hilarious if he was under the mask. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they're going to reveal that at Mania. I think that's something that you find out the next night on Raw. Or
oh, the mask and the El Grande. Yeah, but I still think somehow we might see Rusev. I don't know in what match or when, but I mean he's cleared. Supposedly wants to do it.
I'm anxious to see him back. He got treated like shit in AEW.
I just hope he is not Miro and he's Rusev.
Yep.
Because that character was awesome. Miro sucked.
Very much so. So really quick, I don't think they did enough with vignettes with El Grande Americano either. No. They could have went with that stuff.
Yeah.
They could have went a lot deeper and a lot funnier.
Yeah, I agree.
I could see him at a Mexican restaurant trying to speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just little things or, like that would be funny.
Or maybe like the subtitles and...
I don't know if I've seen this, but did he ever wear the suit like Mil Máscaras with the tie and the three-piece suit?
I don't think I've seen it either.
Oh, that would have been awesome, too. Let's talk about some maybe matches here real quick, because there's about three of them here that haven't been booked yet, but probably is going to be. Damian Priest versus Drew McIntyre. Thoughts on this possible match?
Little meat slap and meat match. This is gonna be, that would be I think it'd be a good match. I don't know who you would put over at that point. Both of them need a win.
Yes.
They need a big W. So you put them like that, where do you go? I don't know. I mean, I would have to take Drew.
I take Drew as well, because I just feel like he is the monster heel that you need to put up against baby faces
100%
right now. Yeah. And so I think you could put him back with CM Punk, because that feud hasn't technically been all the way, you know, buried and whatnot. So I'm going Drew with that.
I'll go Damian Priest. I think big things about him.
You like the bisexual Undertaker?
Oh, God.
I got no idea where that came from.
Have you not looked at him? What's that bar down that used to be on Michigan Avenue here in Columbus? What was that called? The Outland? He looks like somebody that probably would have hung out there.
The Outland. I haven't thought about that bar in forever.
Third item that you would not have been on your bingo card for this podcast.
That's right. How about a match between the Street Profits versus DIY versus MCMG versus Pretty Deadly?
Why has this not been promoted as like TLC type something? What they could have done with that match is because they just have too many matches. This match should have been a feature match. One should be one of the feature matches of one of those nights and be TLC. Because these guys can all go.
Here's my thing. I'm not a fan of Pretty Deadly. I just really am not. I don't.
I'm not a fan of the gimmick either, but
the gimmick's not there.
Underneath those nipple showing outfits, they can work.
Is that what you guys talk about down there on Michigan Avenue?
At the Outland, yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
We've seen you down there in your neon green nipple outfit, Rand. Ringside's down there. But he's got a big R on his chest like the Vernon Shirley, but he has a big R.
Okay.
They call him Randy.
This match, I don't know. I don't really want to see another multi-person match, but I'm going with the Street Profits. Like I said, I liked the Street Profits as a heel, but now they've kind of reverted back to a babyface, I guess. They're kind of in-betweeners in my eyes. I would pick the Street Profits to go over.
I'm glad the Motor City Machine Guns came back. I think they deserve bigger than AEW or TNA.
So you're picking them for that match?
Sure.
I'm going to take Pretty Deadly if that happens.
All right.
Because why not?
All right. Well, here's another one that I have a feeling that this one is probably going to be on the SmackDown on Friday, is you have American Made versus the Viking Warriors or the Raiders. War Raiders or whatever.
I just want to say the War Raiders might be the weakest tag team champs.
And they shouldn't be. They're badasses.
I agree. In fact, I didn't even know they were tag team champions. I was like, what?
So where's the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal?
I don't know. Because, I mean, you could put a lot of people. I mean, there's lots of people that aren't booked. Ray Phoenix is not booked. Frazier and Axiom can be in that.
Fraxium should be in that. Could you imagine if you took Fraxium and put him in there and replaced Pretty Deadly?
Oh.
Could you imagine if Andre Battle Royal opens the show and Miro and Rusev comes out? That would be a huge pop to start a show.
That would be great. Yes, that would be.
And the only way it would work is if Aiden English comes out and does the Rusev Day thing.
Or he comes out on a tank. Because, I mean, Shotzi's not using that
not
tank.
Not just any tank, Sherman tank. He comes out.
Oh, man.
Columbus, Ohio legend, Sherman tank.
That's right. Shout out to Sherman tank, man. Hope you're doing well.
Yes, our guy.
There you go. So, ladies and gentlemen, as mentioned before, we'll be keeping a close eye on the next couple of days as things are going to start probably being solidified for this card. But that's what we have for right now. If anything is added to the show when we do the wrap-up, the review show here in a couple of weeks, we'll make sure to mention it. Any last closing comments, Joey?
I'm just myself super excited to be out in Vegas. If you guys are out there, you can always look us up, figure out where we're at by Remix Collectibles Instagram. We'll be out there. I think we're trying to do some giveaways too, like come find us, we'll give away stuff. So we're working on that. We got stickers. We're going to have some other things to give away while we're out there. And then the following weekend is Squared Circle Expo.
Oh, yeah, Indianapolis, Indiana.
So we'll literally get off the plane, probably go to bed, come here the next day to do the WrestleMania review.
Uh-huh.
And then we're going to pack up and head out to Indianapolis for Squared Circle Expo.
So cool. Cool.
Fun couple weeks coming up for us.
Mm-hmm.
'Tis the season.
Hey, did you hear that knock? It's Christopher Walken. Christopher Walken, what are your thoughts on WrestleMania 41?
Hey, you know, guys, I've seen it all. The WrestleMania 1 to now. And I tell you what, I really, really like this John Cena guy doing his thing. I'm looking forward to it so much. Thanks for having me. What's for dinner? God, he comes in here and he wants food right away. I know, he must be hungry. That's why he's knocking on the door. Rain.
Yeah, well, anyways, Rand, anything you want to say
real quick? I'm in the kitchen right now.
I'm still either unemployed or retired.
Even after this hour podcast.
Are you using the neighbor's Wi-Fi?
No.
No?
I go to Giant Eagle a lot.
Okay.
Is it a marketplace? Is it a market district or whatever it's called?
That's a nice one over in Upper. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. The Golden Ghetto has a very nice.
Oh, yeah.
I would Giant expect Eagle. Nothing less.
Oh, you should see the community center that my property taxes help.
It's pretty nice.
Oh, good God.
Does it have a hockey court where you can play roller hockey? Well, then it's the
just. What about the Lonely Housewives? Do they hang out there?
No. Anyway.
Would you stop?
I'll cut that out.
With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to
Happy birthday!
I'll be back to wrap up the episode.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Our thoughts on WrestleMania, which is happening in about 9 days from now. I hope that this format didn't mess things up for you, because I want you ultimately to enjoy the opinions and the insights and what we bring to the table when we do these episodes. And we, of course, I can't do it without Rand and, of course, Joey for helping me out with the preview and review episodes of the big four pay-per-views from the WWE. And so, again, we will definitely be back recapping WrestleMania probably a few days after the event has wrapped, and we'll give you what we thought about it. We'll compare notes from this episode as to what really happened and all that good stuff. So in a couple of weeks, the Pro Wrestling Pundits will return, and with that, let's get on into where you can get in touch with me if you have something to say about this episode or any episode for that matter. You can shoot me an email if you want to be old school. The email address is johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can also find me on Facebook, Instagrams, and Threads. Just look for @pvdcast. And I'm pretty active on my Twitter account. That's right. I'm still using Twitter. My personal handle is @pvdmvp. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know about where they can hear this great podcast. Well, there's a couple different avenues for that. First off, pvdcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and probably the easiest way to get every single new episode. But it's also available through all those major podcasting outlets. All you have to do is go to your search bar within your favorite podcasting app or outlet, type in PVDcast, sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And I need some help. If you are listening through an outlet or an app, I need you to rate and review. Rating and reviewing drives me up in the algorithm, and it's super important for me. It gives me more exposure with the company that you are, whose app you're using or whatnot. And so, please take a few moments, give me as many stars as you wish, and just give me a quick blurb about, you know, what you liked about the show or what you didn't like about the show, you know, whatever. But nonetheless, it is super important. So again, please rate and review. And while you're at it, subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVD cast. But there is one other way in which you can enjoy this show, and that is on the Facebook page. Every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a live broadcast of the week's episode. So there are three easy ways to get the PVD cast. That's at pvdcast.com. That is, of course, through your favorite podcasting outlet or app. And, of course, through the Facebook page, Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2025.